Vahino amadunai Eloheinu alenu maaseh deno kundunai alenu maaseh deno kundunehu. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abayim, welcome everybody. Be'ezrat Hashem, we are continuing now in our Shiurim in the Patach Eliyahu, which as we know is the prayer of Elijah the prophet, which we find in the Hakdama, the introduction to the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar HaKadosh. And we are now in our third Shiur from this series. In our previous two classes, we have discussed the concept of revelation, how we must know and recognize that there is information, knowledge, that exists in the universe which is beyond the limitation of our intellect to acquire. And I did not say it's beyond our intellect to grasp, but some things just pretty much are out of our hands, out of our reach. And unless somebody who can reach them hands them down to us, we just don't get it. Both, receptively as well as intellectually. Our holy sages have taught us in numerous places that the human race of certain is not alone in God's creation, but there are numerous other races available and who serve the Holy One, blessed be He. Many in the position of being, if you will, spiritual parents, guides to us here on earth. And it is these entities that, if you will, in common bond and agreement, decided that this revelation of the Holy One, blessed be, should be made known to mankind, and so it is. And therefore, Patach Eliyahu again is teaching us about how God is revealed in the universe, how He operates here in the universe, what He does, how He does it. It's in a form of a tefillah, a prayer. But yet this prayer, as I have called it, is almost like a Kabbalistic pledge of allegiance. As I've stated before, in the Sephardi tradition, we have a minhag to recite the Patach Eliyahu before our tefillot. And in I think every Sephardic Siddur that I know, the Patach Eliyahu is written there, right in the beginning of the Siddur. But yet, as people will read it, many people never bother to really understand it. And even in the limited time that we have in these Shiurim, there is so much that I do reveal, whereas at the same time I must admit, due to the nature of the material, there is so much that I cannot reveal. I cannot reveal A, because I do not have the time to delve into all the mysteries, all the secrets, simply because not everybody can understand all these materials. And I must admit, do not think for a moment that I have all the answers or I have all the knowledge. That would be clearly arrogant on my part to think or to insinuate such. I assure you that even after studying the sacred and holy material for over a quarter century, maybe in comparison to my other peers, I know a lot. But I assure you, in comparison to what there is to know, I know extremely little. And I might add that the majority of the knowledge that I have is what we call gilui, revelation, wherein which I sit and open to receive, and that by the grace of heaven I can receive, rather than that which I can grasp with my own hand. That is the nature of Kabbalah, the nature of the realm of the spiritual. And that is why Kabbalah is called, or I should say the translation of the word Kabbalah, as we know, is reception, to receive. So, in our previous lesson, we discussed the manner in how Hashem reveals Himself in creation, and we went through a process, if you will, of the most highest and refined form, and how it goes through in a complete process of transformation and manifestation until it reaches what we call actualization. And we refer to this process as the 10 sefirot, the 10 levels of divine manifestation. And we spoke about how this is, if you will, the DNA, and I use that metaphorically, pattern of not only man, but everything in the universe. Now this is a very central point here. And this is where we're going to pick up tonight. Because as we have discussed the ten sefirot, at the end of our previous lesson, I read something and I said, no, I'm going to stop here. And that's obviously where we're going to begin tonight. The Petach Eliyahu states, with regards to the sefirot, it makes mention of the Keter, which we know is the divine will. And then it states, Milgao ihu yudke vavke tihu orachat silut. That from this comes forth a holy name of Hashem, which is called here the path of Atzilut. Now this holy name is one of the, what we call, milui spellings of the name Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke, each letter has its own unique spelling. And being that we generally, if you will, categorize the universe into four distinct realms or dimensions, which we can call the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and the physical. In each of these realms, the name of Hashem is given a specific numerical spelling so as to differentiate its manifestation in that level. Now, there is the level which we call the spiritual. The numerical name of Hashem, there is the numerical value 72, Ayin Bet in Hebrew, known as Ab. In the realm of the mind or the intellect, the name of Hashem is spelled in such a way where the numerical value is 63, Samach Gimel or Sag. In the third realm, the realm of heart, emotion, feeling, passion, the Sefirat Tiferet, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is spelled in such a way that the numerical value is 45, Mem, Mehe, or Gematria, Ma. This is the name which is called the Path of Atzilut. You see, the Sefirat Tiferet, the heart, is the center of the Sefirot. Because you see, in a practical manner, nothing can translate from thought to form without an intermediary, and that intermediary is, if you will, heart, passion, feeling. As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Rabot Machshavot Belevish, there are many thoughts in the mind of men. Each one of us have literally dozens of thoughts at any one moment. Which one should we act on? What do we do? We have options, choices. Many, many things go through our minds, and yet we only do one thing. Why? And the answer should be very simple and clear. It's because we want to. Right? This is the one we want to, and that's the one we don't want to. Well, those are the ones we do not want to. Well, so everything revolves around desire. Desire is fueled by passion. Passion is the emotions. The emotions are the hearts. That is which, if you will, the gas and the engine that takes the power of what is congealed in the mind and says, this is what I want to do and I've got to do it. Passion. You can't really use words to define it or describe it. It is not an intellectual process. It just is. Now, the power of passion, you must recognize and know, forms its own dimensional plane with its own laws of physics, with its own inhabitants in that entire dimension, who, if you will, are embodied emotions, embodied passions. And yes, they are as autonomous and exist as we are. We are composite beings. We have intellect, we have emotion, we have form. Well, in this dimension, these are entities completely within the context of the form of the passion of who and what they are. The path of Atzilut. Atzilut is considered the source. It is considered the realm of the creator as opposed to the realm of creation. And this name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, corresponding to the heart, is said to be its path. The Petach Eliyahu continues and says, "Ihu shakyu de ilana bedroei an poe, kemaya de ashke de ilana ditrabe bahu shakyu." That this path, if you will, is the water that waters the tree in its trunk, branches, leaves, And as the water passes through the whole tree, it is what vibrates it, enlivens it. This is very, very important to understand what Eliyahu Navi is teaching us. Passion makes the world go round. Let's put it real simple. The source and the center of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in the world is through passion. For those of you who can visualize the tree of the Sefirot, you know there's a right, a left, and a center column. The top of the center column, the first Sefirah, is the Keter. The next Sefirah in this center column is the heart. There's an integral connection between the Keter and the Tiferet. So deep is this that I gave an entire shiur on this. It's called the Path of Atzilut, or Orach Atzilut. It's available in our Lessons of Kosher Torah Spirituality on our website, koshertorah.com. I'll recommend you there for further information. But my point is that this holy path of passion, this singularity of revelation, is the source of all things in creation. And I might add that the name Yud Kev Av Kev of Ma has the same numerical value as the name Adam, which is man. And as we are taught, man was created in the image of God. This is the image. The Torah has its source in the Sefer Tiferet. The Torah is a document from the heart. And thus we say in the Shema every day, in these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. Shall love Hashem your God with all your heart. Everything revolves around the heart. Feeling, passion. This is the secret of connection. It is, if you will, the lifeblood which flows through all of creation. This is important because not all of creation can be experienced through divorced, abstract, mental construct. If there is no passion to motivate one in movement and meditation, then one does not move in meditation. Understand this well. This is not a vain teaching. Indeed, in Shiurim that I will be giving Be'ezat Hashem and essays that I have written already on koshertorah.com, the power of passion is the source. It is the essence. The water which flows into the tree. The tree is not only the tree of life of the Sefirot, the tree is the tree of the universe, of existence, of creation. Now, understanding this, recognize that when we speak of the unity of Hashem, we always say Hashem is one. This is the ultimate source and teaching of all of Torah. That there is a singularity underlying the entire universe. And this singularity is not a process of intellect, it is a process of passion. Passion is the expression of will. Will, of course, goes through the process of spirit and mind in order to manifest in the heart. But yet, the heart is the conduit of them all. Ribon almin, antu ilata kola ilot, siba hasibot, the ashke de ila ina bahahun nidiu. Master of the universe, Eliyahu says, you are the source of all sources, the reason of all reasons. You are the one who gives forth the nourishment, the water to the tree. From this source, as we've just called it. And that source is like the soul to the body. It is the life of the body. And to you yourself, there is no image, there is no form, not from anything within, not from anything without. The singularity which underlies all of creation by definition and reality is unknowable. And here is the great mystery. Many people have a myth, what I call a fairy tale, a very immature, childlike way of understanding both God and spirituality. They think that because our world is physical and God is spiritual, therefore when we leave the physical body, we go off into what some people call heaven, that automatically You know, there's the pearly gates, and behind the pearly gates there's this like big glowing, you know, throne, and on the throne you'll see the image of an individual, and he's all glowing, and that's God, right? And God comes and chats with you, hi, how are you, blah, 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 etc. Nothing could be further from the truth. Indeed, we recite in the Kiddushah of Musaf and Yom Shabbat Kodesh, we say, or the, we quote the words of the Malachim who say, Aye mimkom kivodo laharitso. Where is his place? Even the Malachim ask, well, where is God's place? Now remember, Malachim, even those entities which are higher than Malachim, Neshamot, all of them exist in the realm of what we call creation. God is concealed within creation. But God the Creator is creation. He's everywhere in creation. There's no one place that God is and is not. Now you can say, what about Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh? Well, that is a point where in which an essence of God became manifest. We call that essence the Shekhinah. But that Shekhinah, I assure you, is no less present. No less present. Anywhere. Simply because, as the Pasuk says, Melo kol ha'aretz kavodo. The whole world is full of God's glory. This is what we refer to as the singularity. The singularity of Hashem, we called the light of the Ein Sof, the unknowable God. You see, in God's ultimate essence, God is unknowable. Rambam writes about this very clearly in Hilchot Yesodei Torah. The only things that we can know about God is that which God chooses to reveal to us. And that which has been revealed to us is, if you will, only an aspect of God, a certain part of Him, not His whole, but that which we can grasp. We refer to that metaphorically as God's name. And that's why we say Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. God is one and His name is one. God is one with His name. That which is revealed and that which is concealed form the singularity. And it's the singularity which is the source of all things. It is, if you will, the soul to the body, the life of the body. Just like you can take the human body, alive or dead, and dissect it to the most minuscule level, even to the atomic level or subatomic level. I challenge any doctor, any medicinal person who can dissect the human body and show me the human soul. That which makes us human, that is who and what we are. You see, this has always been a problem with modern science. Neurology knows well the science and mapping of the brain. However, with all the knowledge and understanding of the brain and neurology, no one has ever been able to map the mind. You don't want to use words like soul because it sounds too religious? So be it. The mind. That which makes you and I who we are. You see, neurology can control the brain. It can control the manifestation of the mind. But it cannot control the mind itself. You can give somebody drugs. You can brainwash them, hypnotize them, to train them to think in a certain way, believe in a certain way, feel in a certain way, but something somehow deep within them knows differently. We call it the unconscious. The unconscious is clearly, scientifically, real. And anybody who knows anything about the realm of the mind knows how dangerous the mind can be. Torah teaches us control of the mind. Torah teaches us focus of the mind. But yet, the mind itself exists within the brain and exists within the entire body. Your mind, your soul, is as much in your pinky, in your toe, in your hair follicles, as it is in your brain. And the proof of this is simple. what instructs any and all parts of your body to operate? How does your hair know to grow? How do your bones know to form? How does your stomach know to digest food? How do your lungs know to transform gas that is inhaled into that which is exhaled? Who taught the body this knowledge? You certainly did not learn any of these things in school. The minute you were born and slapped on your bottom, this knowledge was innate in you. It is there. This is the knowledge. This is the path of Atzilut, the Shema, the source of man. It is not knowledge, it is passion, it is feeling. It is unconscious. And that's why these functions of the operations of the human body, which define for us life, function within the realm of the mind called the unconscious. Because the unconscious is the source and seat of our feelings. And that is where this force comes from. So you see, in many of my previous lessons I've shared with you, that at the subatomic level there is that inner presence of Hashem, which we call the Shekhinah, which gives, if you will, information to each and every subatomic particle, to form all the particles that it does, to form the molecules, the cells, the body parts and their functions. And I call that source, that Shekhinah, that indwelling of God, information. But now I reveal to you the truth. Information is of the mind. This is more like a feeling, and it's in the heart. And that is why it does not have to be conscious to us. It is flowing of its own path, because that's its nature. And just now, as we have discussed this general information of the natural path, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to shock us with just a few words and reveal to us so many deep things that in preparing this class, I stood hesitant, saying, how much should I reveal and how much should I conceal? Because in these next few words will reveal to us the complete reality of our multidimensional universe. You see, our existence in creation is a trifold universe, two of which are parallel one to the other, and then one, if you will, is on top of them both. Look at it as a right, left, and center, the center one being on top of the right and the left. The universe on the left is our physical universe, which we know and exist in. The universe on the right, parallel to us, is what we'll call the astral or spiritual universe, where our souls emanate. In the Bible, these two universes are called the heavens and the earth. And though metaphorically we can say one is on top of the other, I usually prefer the metaphor side by side, because even though the earth, the physical universe, which is made up of matter, which is, if you will, the vibration of molecules or particles, lower than a certain vibration, which we call the speed of light. And then they get to a point where they vibrate, and then they transform from what we call mass to energy. So it's at that point that we define the difference between the two dimensions, what we call physical and spiritual. And I don't like that word spiritual, because it's so generic. Usually I like to refer to that realm spiritual as a much higher realm. So I use the modern term, and I refer to this realm, which in the Bible is called Shamayim, or the heavens, and I call it the astral. You see, the astral and the physical are like a hand in a glove. The heavens and the earth are both creation, as we know. Think of, if you will, the heavens, or Shamayim, the astral as being the great ocean, and the earth, or the physical realm, as being the island which pops up out of the ocean, but yet has its source in that ocean. Everything from our physical universe emanates from this other realm and dimension. And above these two dimensions called the heaven and the earth is that dimension which we call Elohim, or God. That is the realm which we can call the mind, the neshama and kabbalah olam abiriyah, because it is from here which comes forth the heavens and the earth. And indeed, in modern string theory physics, when they talk about the Big Bang theory, they always question, well, they can take time all the way back to like 1 millionth of a second after the Big Bang, but what happened before? Or what happened at that moment? Now, with the modern understandings of what I believe they call M theory, they've been able to discover that indeed there are parallel dimensions, like layers of an onion. I've heard that metaphor used, and I don't know if it's coincidence or not, being I don't believe in coincidence, I wouldn't say so, but that's exactly the same metaphor used in the Zohar HaKadosh to describe the dimensions. One layer next to another. Now, in the Kabbalah, we've always known this, but modern science now has discovered that our physical universe actually came into existence because the empty space which was once this universe somehow tapped into that other universe, and at that point of tap, there was almost like an eruption, a penetration. You'll forgive me, but I'm going to use the correct metaphor, an ejaculation of energy from that universe into ours. That was the moment of the Big Bang, which gave rise to this whole physical universe, which in the Kabbalah we call Olam Asiyah, or the earth, not the heavens. This is a great secret of understanding the nature of creation. The heavens and the earth are two parallel dimensions. And what I found shocking in the talk now amongst scientists, and this is speculative talk, to the best of my knowledge anyway, they say that these other dimensions, parallel to ours, most likely are inhabited by entities and beings of those dimensions and realms, similar to our dimension being inhabited by beings of our realm. And indeed, I wonder what they really know. Because you see, as we very well know, our holy sages have taught us over centuries, that the other entities, which we call angels or shindalits, they exist in our space, but yet they don't exist in our space. They are similar to us, but in ways unsimilar to us. Some entities are said to be completely non-corporeal, without matter, and others somehow have some form of matter. So you see, our sages are very well aware of the other inhabitants of our universe. And apparently, in some realms, so are some people in modern science. What I find very enlightening, I don't know if that's a correct word to use, very revelatory maybe is better, is that in discussions today of the modern UFO phenomena, where people are believing that they're having experiences with life from outer space, more and more literature, more and more detail is coming out from people allegedly in the know that these visitors are not necessarily from out there, but in the words of many of these authorities are saying from a place much closer to home. And indeed, the experiences portrayed of these close encounters are almost in every which way identical to the encounters with shindalits, the likes of which we have defined in the works of Rabbi Yehuda Fatiha, or in the works of our Sefer Chassidim. It is very revelatory, the information that is there. But now, let's put this into a context. Petach Eliyahu continues and states that this unknowable singularity which we call Hashem, whose life flows through all the universe and all places and all dimensions and all races and all beings, it says here that God created, interestingly, heavens and earth, And in the heavens, it says, came forth the sun and the moon, the stars, and the mazalot, the constellations. We all know and understand that the unknowable singularity of the universe imbues all things. God imbues the stars. God imbues the mazalot. God imbues astrology. I know many people want to say, astrology is idolatry. Stay away. It's all demonic. Well, that's nonsense. Everything is created from God. Now, just a word about astrology. Yes, God does act through the stars. Anything in operation of the mechanical universe can be known and seen through the stars. Indeed, our sages teach us that 30 days before something that is to be revealed is announced in heaven. Heaven means that the entities existing in heaven can know and have awareness of things prior to its physical manifestation. The alignment and polarity of forces in nature are all part of the operations of the universe, revealing the unknowable singularity of Hashem. Astrology is not a predictive science, and anybody who wants to use it to predict the future will be sorely and gravely wrong. Why? Simply because as you have the singularity, which is Hashem, so we recognize the true nature of Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the passion of life, by definition can never be predicted, and therefore it is random. And therefore we have the great and profound revelation in our Torah, which totally crushes and destroys the Eastern concept called karma. We have a concept called teshuvah, repentance. Now let me explain to you how it works. You see, when we act in certain ways, we create ripples along the road of our life. And ultimately and inevitably, those ripples catch up with us, for good or for bad. But now let's say for bad. Ultimately, we say we're going to run into our own destiny. However, if one has a sincere change of heart, passion, you are actually able to shift your road, almost, if you will, creating a quantum parallel universe that when you sleep, you shift off into a completely different universe, where in which the influences in which you initially created are no longer there in application to catch up with you in the future. You have literally become a Briya Chadasha. And we find this concept clear in the Gemara, in the Halakha. The Rambam states that when we wake up in the morning, as you know, we have the Halakha to wash our hands. And the Zohar says it's to wash off the uncleanliness. Rambam says it's because we're like new creations. Rambam was not speaking metaphorically for children. He was revealing this very profound, actual teaching of a shifting of quantum dimensions by the power of the heart of the Baal Teshuvah. Therefore, never underestimate the power of what we can do in our world. Nothing can stand before the power of passion for Hashem. This is what goes in what we call heaven, that other dimension, parallel to ours, which is the source of ours, which we can go into and then come back out of differently. Because that other dimension is not rigid in the realm of material matter as we, ours, our dimension is. We can transcend the physical, go into there and come back into the physical differently, all by the path and design of the holy name of Hashem, the source of life, the singularity unknowable in all creation. Here in the physical plane, Hashem brought forth trees, grass, the Garden of Eden, and herbs. That's what it says. You scratch your head, gee, aren't there a whole bunch of other things? Eliyahu Navi does not speak without specific focus, purpose, and intent. And if we say that there is a sun and a moon and stars and mazalot, and then we say that there are trees and grass, Gan Eden, and herbs, no, there is an absolute correlation between them. Because the next four items are animals, birds, fish, and human beings. And again, there is an immediate and absolute correlation between these four. Four. Just like there are four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, corresponding to the four-dimensional realms, the sun and the moon. These are metaphors of individual powers in the universe, as are the individual stars and the constellations themselves. It is no coincidence that there are 12 tribes of Israel, corresponding to the 12 mazalot, 12 months of the year. It is all correlate one to another. One only need to look at the commentaries of the Torah to Parshat Bamidbar, where it speaks about the camps of Bnei Israel in the desert. And they will see all the correlations of the months, the astrology. And all this is, if you will, is a Torah psychology, in that it explains, if you will, the different natures of personalities, orientations towards life, views. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. Trees and grass. Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is on the earth? Or so you might think. And herbs. The Zohar HaKadosh says something very profound, that there's not a single herb in the entire earth that cannot be used for medicinal properties if we only have the wisdom to understand them. Trees, grass, Garden of Eden, herbs, these are all metaphors as well to the existence of entities here in the physical realm, because the Garden of Eden originally was not here in the physical realm. It was in a, if you will, intermediary place between the physical and what we now call the astral. These are some of the great secrets of the Arizal, that there are realms of the physical realm which are not as concrete, if you will, as our physical world in which we live. And then the next four make reference to animals and birds and fish and human beings. Animals live on the land, birds fly in the sea, fish in the water, and then human beings. Gee, if we're the highest of the levels, I think we should be mentioned first. How come we're mentioned last? Again, there's no coincidence. These words are not just thrown together. Eliyahu Navi is a Navi. He's a prophet. He's speaking the words of Hashem. These are the words of Hashem. This is a correlation of profound significance. You see, the animals and the birds and the fish being spoken of also are metaphors. They're not only the physical correlates that we know here on this earth. They're speaking of much higher and more profound races, which, if you will, connect all things. So you see, without getting into too much detail and revealing too much, I will reveal to you some profound matters. According to the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Hashmatut to the first Helek, Daf Resh Nun Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, there is profound teachings that is taught with regards to our world. We are taught in numerous places that there are seven levels of heaven, and we are taught that there are seven levels of the earth. And indeed, the Zohar HaKadosh teaches that our earth inside is inhabited, is hollow. Some people call it the hollow earth theory. Now, you might have heard of Sir Edmund Halley, British astronomer. He's very famous because the Halley's Comet is named after him. Halley, Halley, same thing. He also knew and wrote many materials on the hollow earth theory. You can do web searches. You'll find a lot of material on it, with the exception of the material that comes forth from our holy sages. Our sages say there are numerous other races here upon the earth. Profound secrets revealed in Sefer Chesed L'Avraham of Rabbi Avraham Azulai, that many of the, what we were led to believe were mythological entities, actually live physically in an earth. Indeed, the Bible itself makes mention of the phoenix bird. Sefer Iyob makes mention of the bird that lives for 1,000 years, spontaneously combusts in its nest, and then is reborn out of the ashes. Indeed, Rashi's Parush is very clear at defining that's what it was. Mentions of dragons. The Gemara interprets that the animal called the Tachash, whose skins were used to create the coverings for the Mishkan, in the Midbar, that this Tachash animal has come to us known as a unicorn. And you will see in Sephardic art in many places the image of a unicorn prominently displayed. I have birkonim, benchers, you know, for Birkat HaMazon, pictures of unicorns all over them. Tachash. Interestingly, the Gemara says Tachash only was revealed in the days of Moses. Well, where'd they go? We say that they came from inner earth and they went back to inner earth. So you see, there are many secrets even here on earth. You will find many midrashim that say that there are passageways through the city of Hebron, through any places around the world which can take you to inner earth. Not all places which are very welcoming or inhabitable or desirous to be. That there are other races down there who are, shall we say, very hostile to ours. Our world, our universe is a very, very busy place. We're not alone. Not by a long shot. But with the revelation of all of these other races and entities, the unknowable singularity of Hashem flows through them all as it flows through us. So if you were to meet one of these entities from any of these other races, don't go and say to him, "Hey, are you Jewish? Do you know Torah?" He's gonna look at you like, gosh, I don't know what. But yet, Hashem flows through that entity as he flows through you. Hashem has a ways and means to commune with that entity as he has a ways and a means to flow and commune with you or me. And this is the profound reality. That indeed, as complicated as our world gets, as inhabited as it is, as Petach Eliyahu continues, and he states here, I'm just going to quote to you the English. He says, "All were brought forth in order that they may know that which is above, that all may know the order of the operations of those things above and below, to recognize the relationship between above and below. Yet none can know you. Aside from your unity, there is no unity, not above or below. You are known to be over all and Lord over all things." Like we said earlier, Ayei Mikom Kivod Olaritzo, where is the place of his glory to honor him? Even the angels do not see God. You see, there is no form to see. There is no image to gaze upon. The singularity of reality doesn't have a face that you can look at, that you can talk to. It just is. And that is the reality. Not every race in the universe knows this. Not every race in the universe understands this. They can have all the technology and bounce from one dimension to another. Big deal. Most will call the singularity, they'll just call it the universe or nature. They do not recognize that this face of nature has a name, and this face of nature has a revelation to mankind. That revelation, as we know, came from Sinai. That revelation, as we know, is Torah. They do not know Torah. They do not know the revelation. They just know the impersonal face. They do not know the personal. And the whole purpose of Torah and the revelation of the Zohar and these words of Eliyahu Navi, again, all were brought forth in order that they may know that which is above, that they may know that there is a source. The whole purpose of our Torah is to reveal to all the interactiveness of the unknowable singularity, which we call the revelation of Hashem, and to walk in the path of Atzilut. And this is the great secret. I'm going to continue now because our time is short. I will read the Petach Eliyahu now in English. "All the Sefirot, every one of them has a known name. You fill each of these names. You are the one who completes each one. When you withdraw from them, their names are left as bodies without a soul." You see, every aspect of the Sefirot are only a vessel through which Hashem is revealed. Whether it's the spirit, the mind, the heart, the form, Hashem exists within all. And if Hashem were not to be in all just would not be like a body without a soul. It would die and cease to exist. And this is a very profound and important point which the holy Mikubalim have emphasized. That one should never, God forbid, come to pray to a specific sefirah, a specific attribute, and say, may the chesed, mercy of Hashem be revealed, or the gevurah of Hashem be revealed, because we do not have the authority and the right to channel the force of the singularity into any specific direction. Our job is to surrender and allow Hashem to flow in that direction which He knows, and that we must open ourselves up in the complete pattern, right, left and center, to be the conduit, the vessel, the Merkava, the chariot through which Hashem flows. So all of the Sefirot, their powers are known. Hashem fills them, completes them. And each one without Hashem is nothing. But we must bond to the source, the singularity within them all. For indeed, love with another is not based upon embracing their clothing, not even embracing their body, but embracing their soul. So if you want to make love to your partner, you don't kiss and hug their jacket. Just kissing and hugging the body isn't enough unless the passion of heart and soul is there as well. Just as it is here below, so it is above. Know and understand this. This is important. Do not approach Shemayim and ask for this or that. Ask that the will of Hashem be revealed. May it be Hashem's will. May it be, you ask, the singularity, the source, the Ein Sof, that His light flow. But remember, it's heaven's decision, not yours and mine. V'tach Eliyahu continues and says, you are wise, Hashem, but not with the knowable wisdom, because indeed, the ultimate reality of Hashem is unknowable. We can receive wisdom. We can grasp knowledge. We can experience and know to a point. But the deeper and deeper and deeper we penetrate, the farther and farther and farther we realize what we cannot know. And why? Because it's a simple matter of mechanics and physics, if you will. The more that one becomes full of Hashem, the less one becomes full of oneself. And the less of oneself that there is, the more of Hashem that there is less of one to know. Till ultimately there is no one left to do the knowing. There is only Hashem. This is the great secret of the relationship between the Keter, the first Sefirah, and the Malchut, the last. For indeed, Keter is referred to as the great Aleph, Yud, Nun. Malchut, the physical world, the lowest of the spherot is called Ani, I, the ego. Aleph, Nun, Yud. Both spelled with the same letters, just the first two letters, different order. So you see, when things are not in the proper order, we have Ani, where the first letter then goes into the Nun, and then the Yod. Whereas in the ultimate level of the Keter, all the letters are in their proper order, Aleph, Yod, Nun. Proper flow, full of God. Improper flow, full of ego. Ultimately and inevitably, it's the surrender of soul that will fill us. So the Zohar continues and says, you Hashem understand, but not with knowable understanding. You are understanding. Again, the powers of the mind, that which we can grasp intellectually, and that which we can experience spiritually, there's limitation, simply because we are limited beings. It is important that we recognize that as long as we exist, we will have limitation. And only by the nullification of self can there be a nullification of limitation. The Zohar says you have no known place, as we say, because Hashem is in every place. Yet human beings will perceive your strength and power. Why? To show them that the world operates in accordance to mercy and severity. A right and a left column, a give and a take, ma and ben, if you will, which are righteousness, justice, all in accordance with the actions of those below. And here is the great and profound secret. You see, the attribute of what we call Tiferet, this holy name of Ma, Adam, source of Torah, source of passion, is also the attribute of balance, of harmony, which we call justice. You see, this is the source of the universe. Justice. Balance. Ultimately and inevitably. That which is known from its source and its creation, where it is meant to be and how things are meant to be, ultimately and inevitably balance will be achieved. Ultimately and inevitably justice will be accomplished. You and I might have been wronged in this life or might do the wronging in this life. And it might not be for a lifetime or lifetimes to come before the balances are put in order. And we might not see in our lifetime the justice that we seek. But that is irrelevant. Because what you and I see is irrelevant. What you and I want is irrelevant. The justice that we demand, however, is not irrelevant. And ultimately and inevitably, justice will be served. So then we look upon such terrible human crimes as like the Holocaust. And you can say, how can you ever possibly, how can anyone ever possibly punish the individuals who were so depraved, so inhuman, so imbalanced to have created such a horrible reality? I assure you, ultimately and inevitably, in this lifetime or in others, balance will be achieved. Justice will be served. Vengeance will be complete. Because that is the nature of things. And if tomorrow there was, if like we read or see in the movies, the War of the Worlds were invaded by the aliens from outer space, even if they do come, indeed there will be justice even with them. Because they cannot make a move, just like any human does not make a move, other than by the higher authority of heaven, whether they know it or not. And indeed, somehow, somewhere, balance and justice will be achieved. But remember, you and I have limited knowledge. You and I have very limited wisdom. What is the definition of proper justice? I don't know. And neither do you. This is not karma. Karma is determinism. Anyone and anywhere can do teshuvah. All those who have the power of Torah and the ability to make quantum change. And as for those who cannot or will not, like we learned about Pharaoh in Mitzrayim, then indeed he did meet his destiny, whereas we rose above ours. Judgment is severity. Justice is the center column. Righteousness is the holy kingdom. These are all the different names of severa. Judgment is gevura. Righteousness is the holy kingdom, which is yesod, malchut. The scales of justice are supported by truth. Righteousness is the sign of the covenant. All is to show how the world operates. Not that there isn't righteousness that is severe or justice that is merciful, for then each are all. Simple words which reveal such profound truths, which indeed I could go on for hours. And indeed, Rabbi Chaim Vital, in his Etz Chaim, writes 50 gates, each with numerous chapters each. to explain to us a profound reality, how intricate, complicated the universe reality and the flow of divine revelation truly is. For you see, even though there are 10 sefirot, each sefira has 10 within it, which has 10 within it, which has 10 within it, and on and on and on we go into infinity. So you see, the realization or emanation of an end, of a power at a time, can be the attribute of mercy within severity, or the attribute of the mercy within the severity within the mercy. And on it goes. We can get a headache just thinking about all the different details. And indeed, the details are everything. But from everything are only the hands of Hashem, the tools of His operation. Ones who study the Kitvei Ari, the Etz Chaim, the Zohar Kadosh, come to grasp an awareness of the depths and the profundities of these realities. Come to recognize the true nature of what is said in Kohelet, that there is a time and a purpose for all things under heaven. The interaction and the flow of the energies and the powers of spiritual reality. You see, everything in life revolves around this reality. And one who will take the time to study Torah, even at the pshat level, will grasp these things intuitively, psychically, internally. For all of the laws of our Torah, at the pshat level, are only reflections of this intersephirotic reality of parallel multidimensional realities and how we all interact together. So when one studies the Chumash with Rashi, when one studies the Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara and learns the laws, at the surface level you are learning the laws of the universe. And one who then delves in meditation and contemplation to contemplate these laws will have revealed to them the profound truths, the interactions of the unknowable singularity of the universe in the little bit that can be known of that reality. With this note, Be'ezrat Hashem, I leave it to you to contemplate. Enough talking, enough words for this lesson. Rather than think about it, contemplate it, feel it. Allow your eyes to close, your mind to calm, and your heart to open. And that is why the Petach Eliyahu is read, if you will, as a meditation. Not only as a prayer, but if you allow me to use the word, as a mantra. Whether you know the meaning of the words or not, by reverberating their sounds, they speak to your heart. Your heart which knows language and meaning beyond which your intellect and mind can grasp. So therefore, go over these words, contemplate them, and you will find that Hashem is known within them. And that is the great truth of things. Ant hakim, v'la b'chokma yedi'a. Antu mevin, v'la mebina yedi'a. Let lach atar yedi'a. Ele de ishtin moda'a tukvach v'helach lebene nasha. V'la chaza'a lon, ech it nehig alma bedine berachame, de inun tzedek u'mishpat gefum avadai hon de bene nasha. Din, ihu gevura, mishpat amoda dem tzaita. Malchut, Tzedek, Malchuta Kadisha, Mehozne Tzedek Tarin Samchek Shot. Hen Tzedek Ot Brit, Kula Ahza, Ech It Nehig Alma, Avalav Et Lach Tzedek Idi'a Di'ihudin, Ulau Mishpat